Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Well, today we continue our study, our messianic analysis and study of the Feast of Israel. Originally, we looked at the seven feasts of Israel as given by God to Moses for the Jewish people to observe and celebrate, found in Leviticus 23. And now we have expanded this messianic study of the feasts to include Hanukkah and Purim. And we're looking at Hanukkah now. And last time we left you, we were exploring the historical events and personages that Hanukkah, or the celebration of Hanukkah, emerged from, and how they do indeed cast their prophetic shadows before them. The events of Hanukkah are types and shadows of what will happen in the world and with Israel during the end times, specifically the seven-year tribulation. And this was most highlighted last time by pointing out the parallels between Antiochus Epiphanes, the Greco-Syrian ruler that sought to destroy Israel and defile their temple in Jerusalem, how his life and his blasphemous activities exactly parallel and prefigure the character and acts of the coming Antichrist. And we looked at several parallels last time, actually one. Both of these persons involved two end time periods. And so let's continue to examine this parallel. And originally these observations were given by Larry Cockerham in his article Antiochus Epiphanes, the Antichrist of the Old Testament. For just as there are types and shadows in persons, events, and observations that point to the coming of Messiah in the Old Testament, there are also the same concerning the coming of the Antichrist. He is foreshadowed and prefigured in the Old Testament and fully revealed in the New Testament. And Antiochus Epiphanes is probably one of the most preeminent examples of this in the Old Testament. So let's continue our parallel study of his life, and you will see that it mirrors in a remarkable way the coming of the future Antichrist. Both these men, both Antiochus Epiphanes and the coming Antichrist, both are referred to as a little horn in the prophecies of Daniel. Daniel 7 is the first mention of Antiochus being called the little horn. Now remember, in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel has a vision. He has a vision of four rapacious and terrible beasts, uncontrollable. All of them are uncontrollable and destructive in nature. He had this dream, and each of these beasts represents the four major Gentile empires, starting with Israel's exile in Babylon, leading up to the second coming of Messiah. And so these beasts are given in Daniel 7. The first was the lion with wings. That represents the first consolidated Gentile world empire, Babylon. And then the beast to come after Babylon was Medo-Persia. This was likened to a bear. Then we have the third beast, one like a leopard with wings, representing Alexander and the empire of Greece. And then we have another beast, and this beast was nondescript, yet the most horrible. And this beast is represented by the Roman Empire. And so let's look at this a little more closely. Both Antiochus and the Antichrist will grow and will grow to become a great imperial power from a small beginning. And they are called, Antiochus is called the little horn. We are told in Daniel 8:9 that he waxed exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the pleasant land, which would be Israel. And it waxed great even to the hosts of heaven. This will be true of the Antichrist as well, as Daniel 11, verses 41 and 42 indicate. And like both these men, Antiochus and the coming Antichrist, their beginnings will be unnoticed and insignificant. However, like Antiochus, the Antichrist will gain political power quickly. And then he will exert control over different nations, cultures, and peoples. Just as Antiochus did to a more limited extent. But they are both described as the little horn. Both of them are described as the little horn. We have the ten kings and the little horn of Daniel 7, 8. There it's talking about the Antichrist emerging from the ten-toed nation confederacy that grew out of the fourth beast, the Roman Empire. And in Daniel 8, 9, we have the little horn. This is referring to Antiochus Epiphanes, who came out of Syria and persecuted the Jewish people, defiled their temple. And while the little horn of Daniel 8 is not to be confused with the little horn of Daniel 7, they both arise out of similar circumstances. And the little horn of Daniel 8 is a prophetic type and shadow of the little horn of Daniel 7. The little horn of Daniel 7 is the Antichrist, and the same descriptive phrase was also used of the historical person Antiochus Epiphanes in Daniel 8, 9. So let there be no confusion on that. And so this gives us then the legitimate observation that Antiochus Epiphanes does in fact symbolize and prefigure the coming Antichrist, because Daniel calls them both by the same name of little horn. Third, both Antiochus Epiphanes and the Antichrist will persecute the saints of God. One only has to read the accounts given in 1st and 2nd Maccabees to see that Antiochus Epiphanes carried out a barbaric and unspeakably horrible persecution against the Jewish people in the land of Israel. And again, I will give you the background of this story. This persecution began because in 168 BC, Antiochus and his Syrian armies were on the verge of conquering the great city of Alexandria and Egypt. The Roman Republic quickly sent a dispatch to Alexandria, and the Senate delegated Papilius Lanus to be their ambassador to meet with Antiochus. After Papilius drew a circle in the sand with his staff, he in effect compelled Antiochus to make a decision without further delay. Either invade Alexandria and risk the overwhelming might of the Roman armies, or withdraw and spare himself and his military conglomerate. Well, Antiochus is insane as he was, possessed reason and realized that it would be suicide to go against the superior military might of Rome, withdrew with great humiliation from Egypt. Then a rumor of his death was, of his death was being circulated in Israel, and a rebellion followed after that against Israel. Once he heard this in great rage, he turned his anger over it. He turned his anger over being humiliated and vented it upon the Jewish people in Israel. He swept down on Israel with his military armies and killed over 80,000 men, women, and children. And in addition to that, he sold 40,000 into slavery, according to the historical account of 2 Maccabees 5:5-14. He then went into the Holy Temple, robbed it of its treasures, and dedicated to the temple to the pagan god Zeus. He defiled the temple, as you know, by offering a pig upon the altar, scattering its juice over all the sanctuary and vessels and holy scrolls. He substituted the Jewish feasts with the drunken revelries of Bacchanalia, forcing the Jews to worship Bacchus, the god of pleasure and wine. He made circumcision and reading of the Holy Scriptures illegal, and anyone who violated this, he killed without hesitation. For instance, Antiochus killed two mothers who were caught circumcising their children in defiance of his pagan law. And so the carnage and bloodletting of Antiochus Epiphanes against the Jewish people, as horrible as it was, is but a prophetic foretaste of what lies ahead for Israel and the persecution they will face by the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation. And let it be said that this coming, this future persecution by the Antichrist against Israel will be much more intense and greater in magnitude. And it will reach its zenith at the end of Daniel's 70th week, when the Antichrist will seek to annihilate the Jewish people and the Jewish state of Israel, and the Lord Jesus will intervene and save his people and annihilate Antichrist and his armies and all the armies of the world who align with him to destroy Israel. So both Antiochus and the Antichrist mutually share the same characteristic, that is, a unquenchable hatred for the Jewish people that seeks to destroy them and wipe them off the earth. And both, one was destroyed, of course, and the other one will be destroyed with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Both Antiochus and the Antichrist will also be known and have been known for their blasphemies against the God of the Bible. We are told in Daniel 8:11 that Antiochus magnified himself even to the prince of the host. The prince of the host. So he not only blasphemed the God of heaven, but he also blasphemed here the prince of the host. And speculation is, who is he talking about here? Is he talking about Michael, the archangel who's head over all the other angels in their protection over Israel? Or is he talking about the Son of Man, the second person of the Trinity, the Messiah? I think he's talking about the Messiah, because the Messiah is the Prince of Angels. He rules over the angels. He's a prince because he's awaiting the giving of his earthly kingdom and the Davidic throne when he returns. So Antiochus actually magnified himself against the coming Messiah during this time in 168 to 163 BC. Messianic expectation in Israel was alive, was legitimate, and was a very real thing to the Jewish people. Antiochus learned of this and sought to supplant the coming of the Messiah with his blasphemous reign and usurpation. Antiochus' pride and arrogance was lifted up in opposition to the very God of heaven. His blasphemy and defiance of the Lord, Yahweh, again mirrors that of the future man of sin, the Antichrist. The Apostle John witnessed the same blasphemous activities that the beast, the Antichrist, will do when he rises from the Sea of Nations. In Revelation 13:1, John said, when he saw this beast arising from the sea, he saw upon his head the name of blasphemy. And John mentions this again in Revelation 13 when he describes the political career of the Antichrist and the speeches he gives. They will be noted by blasphemy. Revelation 13:6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and then that dwell in heaven. So both these men are men who will be engaged in blasphemy. I think what's really disturbing is we even see such blasphemy in the political arena in this country. The current president, as he was running for office, was given messianic acclamation and titles. Voters wore t-shirts announcing his political arrival with the phrase, "The Messiah cometh." And not once did this man who is now president, not once did he denounce such blasphemous ascriptions to himself. Not once. Which tells me that he accepts and appreciates it. My friend, that is blasphemy. And any man who rises to that level, God will surely strike down, whether it be Antiochus or any other person following in his chain of blasphemies like the Antichrist will. Both Antiochus and the Antichrist will seek and they shall desecrate the sanctuary of the temple. We know that in past history and according to historical record that Antiochus not only sought to destroy the new Jewish nation, but he did defile the temple in Jerusalem when he set up the image of Zeus with his face on it and further defiled it with an unholy sacrifice, the sacrifice of the pig. And Daniel called this sacrilegious act of Antiochus as the abomination that makes desolate. The same act with the same description is given for the future Antichrist as well. The Lord Jesus linked Antiochus's abomination of desolation with the future abomination of desolation committed by the coming Antichrist in Matthew 24:15. He says there, "When you therefore shall see," now he's warning the Jewish nation during the time of the future tribulation, "when they therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, then the Jews who see this during the tribulation period, see the Antichrist going into the temple, proclaiming himself God, and causing the sacrifices to cease, they, the Jewish people, will take note and flee to the mountains." Jews living during the tribulation period will understand the words of the Lord Jesus and the scriptures, and they will flee to the mountains, probably in the southern Judean desert, for safety. The Apostle Paul, corroborating what the Lord said by the Holy Spirit, speaks of the same event in 1 Thessalonians 2:4. He says that the Antichrist will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And like Antiochus, John in the book of Revelation tells us that the future Antichrist will set up an image of himself called the image of the beast in the tribulation temple. There, the false prophet will compel people to worship this image that will be set up in the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. And all those who refuse to worship this image of the Antichrist will be killed, just as Antiochus sentenced to death those Jews living under his cruel tyranny. He sentenced those Jews to death who refused to worship him and make sacrifice to his statue and eat swine's flesh to identify with the sacrifice. Those Jews who refused to do that during the cruel reign of Antiochus were likewise killed, as those Jews in the future who refused to worship the Antichrist will be killed as well. Both Antiochus and the Antichrist will also and have claimed to be God incarnate. Concerning Antiochus, it says that he will blaspheme the Lord and command people to worship him as God. We know he did this. In fact, his very name, Antiochus Epiphanes, is based upon his belief that he was the God of Zeus incarnate. When Antiochus came to reign, he imprinted on his minted coins the following Greek title: Theos Antiochus, Theos Epiphanes, which translates to mean in English, Antiochus God manifest. So he was claiming to be God while at the same time denouncing the one and only true God, Yahweh, the God of Israel. And this same blasphemous act and claim will be repeated by the coming Antichrist. Remember, Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, we just quoted that, that he will claim to be God and will sit in the temple and demand worship as God. So both these, Antiochus has already done it, and Antichrist will do it. Both these satanically possessed men will claim to be God and therefore demand worship as God. And really, you've got to remember that this is the spirit of Satan working through these men. Indeed, some believe that both men were personally indwelt and possessed by Satan himself. I certainly would not disagree with that. We do know that Satan can possess men, and he will possess, he and his chief demons will possess, manipulate, and control the Antichrist, which again, they did with Antiochus. Satan sought to destroy the Jews through this madman so that the Messiah could be prevented from coming. If the Jewish people were to be destroyed, the Messiah then could not come through the Jewish people as foretold in God's Word. And so, the Antichrist to come will be possessed and controlled by Satan, as Antiochus Epiphanes probably was as well. Both Antiochus and Antichrist will be destroyed directly by God. Remember what happened to Antiochus when he was fighting in Persia against the Parthians, and he heard that a second rebellion, broke out in Judea. Once he finished his military campaign in Persia, which was shortly after he learned of the rebellion in Israel, he was returning to Israel, and this time vowing to destroy every last Jew there. Well, as he was riding in his chariot, he was suddenly afflicted by a horrible death. The account in Maccabees says it was by worms and ulcers as he was making his way to Judea with implacable vengeance. He was going to wipe out the Jewish population, starting with the Maccabean rebels. And Antiochus was cut down suddenly and decisively. So too it will be with the coming Antichrist, when it looks as if his satanic reign will destroy the people of God the tribulation saints and the remnant of Israel. Suddenly the Messiah will return like a smiting stone and strike the Antichrist and his armies, ultimately destroying the Gentile nations and the last Gentile dictator, bringing to an end the counterfeit kingdom of the Antichrist that started with Babylon and will culminate with the ten-toed nation confederacy of Antichrist. And so we see that in both cases, with Antiochus and the final Antichrist, they will stand against the Messiah and his people, and both have been broken without hand. Antiochus in the past, that has already happened, and Antichrist in the future. Yet we can say it as if in past tense, because when God foretells an event, it will surely happen. Alright, let's move on. We know that both the Maccabean period and the period that will occur in the tribulation period, both will conclude with great supernatural deliverances from God. The Jewish people defeated Antiochus' armies in 164 BC, and on December 25th, Judas and the Maccabean armies restored the sanctuary, rededicated the temple. December 25th, 164 BC, 3 years after, on the same date, 3 years after Antiochus halted the sacrifices in the temple and set up the pagan altar and the defiling sacrifices. He did this December 25th of 167 BC, and the Maccabean armies defeated Antiochus' forces on December 25th, 164 BC, and they were victorious, and they rededicated the temple, and out of that rededication and military victory comes Hanukkah on the 25th day of Kislev. This is when it occurred, and so thereafter on the 25th day of Kislev, Hanukkah is celebrated. And just as just as the Jewish people were delivered from the evil tyranny of Antiochus Epiphanes, so will the Jewish people be delivered from the Antichrist's attempt at a final solution against them by the direct and supernatural intervention of the return of the Messiah. When Jesus comes back to save Israel from annihilation at the hands of Antichrist, his armies, and the world's armies, he will speak and their flesh will melt off of them, their eyeballs will consume in them, and their tongues will vaporize. They will be vaporized. The Messiah will speak, as John says in Revelation 19, he will speak like a sword coming out of his mouth, and it will vaporize the enemies of Israel, and they will be delivered from the greatest disaster and tragedy of their history. And so just as the ancient nation of Israel was miraculously freed by the Maccabees from the Old Testament type Antiochus, who serves in that role to prefigure the Antichrist, so the modern nation of Israel will be saved from the coming Antichrist by the Lord Jesus, who will deliver them from extinction. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Well, I see our time again is escaping us, and we will resume our study of Hanukkah next time. Let us hear from you, and please consider supporting us and get our free ministry newsletter. The announcer will tell you how to do that in the end. Until next time, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Aleichem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.